belong to God and have conquered them. Somebody say, I'm more than a conqueror. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in this world. Amen. Let's give him a praise tonight, because we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What a great God that we serve. Amen. So let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to just move. Let's pray for the baccalaureate service that's going on in Patrick County High School, that God will touch those students. And we pray the Spirit of God will fall in there and baptize them in the Holy Ghost. Save them and baptize them in the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. So, Father, now we love you. We praise you tonight. We just thank you for the privilege to be in your house. God, what a great God you are. Father in heaven, the great surpassingness of your love. We pray right now in Jesus' name, Father, that you'll touch those children, Father God, those young people at the baccalaureate service, Lord, that God, that you will just fall upon them in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Father, that you'll just bring a divine intervention into that place. Lord, that you will save. God, that you will deliver. Baptize them in the Holy Ghost and fire. We pray, Lord. God, just let them be overwhelmed of your presence and power. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to have your way in this place tonight. We just say, Lord, you are so welcome here. This is your service. It belongs to you, God in heaven. And we say, whatever you want is what we will do. Lord, we just surrender right now in the name of Jesus. And thank you for all that you're going to do in advance, and give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's give them a big praise as we worship God tonight together.
Yeah. You come with your expector on tonight. Amen. We welcome the Lion of the tribe of Judah in this house. Welcome you, Lord. He shames every idol. He reigns without rival. He goes by the name of Jehovah, Jehovah. He speaks into nothing, and darkness goes running. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles, yeah. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet your need, yeah. Jehovah Rapha, heal your body. Jehovah Shalom, be your peace, yeah. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet your need.
This morning, I don't see how you don't have it. Some of us need to break out. Some of us need to break out to do something different. Sometimes you got to do something different. You know, if you've been doing something the same old way and ain't been getting anywhere, and I know the grammar in that is terrible, but then something is wrong. Amen. We want to press in tonight, okay? The Lord's got something here tonight. Just got a witness on that. The Lord has got something for you. I don't care where you came from. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what enemy has been fighting you. I don't care what sickness has tried to attach itself to you. But He has something for you tonight, special for you, individually for you. So let's open up our hearts. Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit in this house right now. Holy Spirit, we say we want your words. We want your songs. We want what you bring. Because a man can't do it. But you are the God who is roaring in this time. You are roaring in this region. You are roaring. So I just ask you, let your roar out tonight, okay? I dare you. I dare you. Step over the line into that place that you've never been before. Step over the line of that place that you've never seen. This is an adventure. It shouldn't be just mundane. It should be new and fresh every day. His promises are fresh and new every single day. So we just welcome you. God of Jacob, great I am. King of angels, Son of Man, the voice of many waters, song of heaven's throne, louder than the thunder, make your glory known. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. 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 to go.
Pride of Zion, prophet spoke, our Messiah.
Church is preparing the way. Your church is preparing the way. Your church, the true church, is preparing the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to appear on the scene.
Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, O valley. Be raised up, O mountain.
What he did for me on Calvary. is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
He is the unfailing God, the unfailing rock.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has
tomorrow. You're the only one. Yes.
I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I is faithful and true. Amen. He will never fail. He will never fail. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. False religions of this world, they're dead and in their grave. But our King, He's alive. He sits at the right throne, hand of the throne of God, receiving that scroll that only He can open. He is worthy.
Yeah.
mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Yes, Lord. Let's just lift our hands right now in His presence. All the glory belongs to Jesus. All the glory belongs to Jesus. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, Lion of the tribe of Judah, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Jesus. Deep is calling unto deep. Deep is calling unto deep.
You may be seated in the presence of God. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We have a special song, Amazing Grace.
Praise God. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many were blessed this morning in the service? Praise God. What an awesome time that we had. Spirit of the Lord is here now. Praise God. And so we want to yield ourselves to that and ask Him to have His way. And so while He is getting unplugged from His saxophone, I want us to give God a big praise and a thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say how much I appreciate the Colonel here. I remember it was back in 2018. We met at Georgia at Todd Smith's church and got to sit together on the front row. And just God just hooked us up, and we've had a relationship, and you know, just it's been good. Praise God. And I'm telling you, He's going to. I got something special here tonight, too. You know, that lion this morning, that was awesome, wasn't it? Amen. And the lion is back tonight. Amen. So give Him another good warm welcome tonight. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, brother. I can't think of another place I'd rather be in all the world than right here, right now, right in the center of God's will. And brother David and Deborah, I just love you guys, and I just continue to say and prophesy and know that this is not the end. This is only the beginning. That people are going to come. And I remember saying this, and the Lord has said it. They're going to come from the north, the south, and east, the west. They want to know what God is doing in this place right here. And don't fear. A lot of people ask me, yes, I brought the lion tonight. It's in my heart, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I brought the blanket as well. We're going to pray again one more time. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, you'll see in a moment, you know, what God is going to do. Brother, I even thought about this. People are going to say, they did what? Someone did what? That guy's crazy. I'll take it. Yeah. You know, I'd rather be crazy than a religionaire. Yeah, I'd rather be crazy. I'm going to fall. You tell them, and they say, well, that's crazy. Yeah, that guy is crazy for Jesus Christ. Well, this little old lady, every morning would get up in the morning on her porch and praise God, and the atheists that lived next door would ridicule her every morning. Every morning she got, praise God, and this old devil over here would say, there is no God. What are you talking about, old lady? That went on for years, and one morning the lady got up and said, dear Lord, I don't have any more groceries. I've run out of food in my house. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And the atheist thought, you know, I'm going to prove that lady wrong. He went out and bought all these groceries and stacked them on her porch one morning before she came out, and she goes, thank you, Lord, for all this things, all your bounty, all your goodness. And the old geezer came out the evening and said, God didn't do it, I did. And the lady said, thank you, Lord, for blessing me and making the devil pay for it. Hallelujah. We're going to make the devil pay tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. Yo, yes, amen. Luke chapter 9. Turn with me in Luke chapter 9. I want to tell you something. The Lord just laid this on my heart this week. We're gonna wax elegant about those who are believers and those who are just religionists. I promised the pastor I would get into, and I'm going to get into that tonight. How many know there's a difference between being a follower of Christ, a believer of Christ, and just someone who acknowledged Christ? The Bible says that the demons acknowledge Him and they tremble. Let's start in verse 28. We're going to get it. We're going to have. I love Sunday nights because just relax, and we're going to get into the Word of God deep tonight. About 8 days after Jesus said this, well, what did He say? He said, some of you here today are going to see the glory of God. Before you die, you're going to see the. They. How little did they know they're about to see something in just a few days? Remember something, when the Lord tells you something, it is going to happen. Now, people question me all over the world, and I'm on a lot of programs, and say, oh, Colonel Jimona, people have been talking about the coming of the Lord for 2,000 years and nothing has happened yet. And the Bible talks about that. Peter, scoffers are going to come and say, where's the promise of it coming? He's been 2,000 years, but they don't remember something that I want to remind you of. 2,000 years is 2 days to the Lord. He's coming on the third day. Amen. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James. Those are his three closest disciples. Yes, Jesus plays favorites. Don't even, everybody, God, yeah, God does play favorites, okay? Now, he loves everybody, you know, all the believers, but there are people who are closer to him that he has chosen. Peter, James, and John are chosen by Jesus to be his closest inner circle. And they went with him and up to a mountain to pray. I've been to that mountain, by the way, in Israel. And I didn't walk up there. It's pretty steep. But those guys were in good shape in those days. If I remember correctly, it was Mount Tabor. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets, are represented here. And Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. By the way, the Jews, when I went there, I couldn't understand something. The Jews say that Jerusalem is the center of the universe. And I thought, wait a minute, why do they keep saying that? Then it dawned on me, Jerusalem really is the center of the universe. That's where Jesus is coming back when he returns to earth. He's not coming back to Chicago. He ain't coming back to L.A. or Nashville. He's coming back to Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. And I got to tell you something, that Joe Biden better watch out, because I just read today he froze a shipment of arms for the first time to Israel. I got news for Joe. Joe is not in charge. And Netanyahu told Biden, because they don't want him to go to Rafah. See, that it's just their minds are warped. Netanyahu knows if they don't destroy Hamas, they're just going to keep coming back and again and again. They got to go in and destroy the enemy. Don't give any quarter to the enemy. Take them out. Take them out. Take them out. And that's a word for us too. Don't give any room for the devil in your life. Take him out in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get to preaching here in a minute. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. It's funny. I'm sorry. There's these churches around, all kinds of churches. Even the Catholic Church believes they are the fulfillment of Israel. They are the new Israel. I got news for you. They're not the new Israel. They're not the replacement theology they talk about. There are Jews in Jerusalem, and there's an Israel. That's where Jesus is talking about, not the church. Peter and his companions were very sleepy. Have you ever noticed that when Satan really starts to put, it really comes against you, you get real tired, you get real sleepy. You get to pray, what happens? You want to fall asleep. That's spiritual warfare, brothers, sisters. They were sleepy. When they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with them, and they had a great idea. Oh boy, I'm going to get to preaching now. I can feel that anointing come right up from the gut in here. And Jesus, Peter says to Jesus, Master, man, it's good for us to be here. We're going to build some shelters, one for you and Moses and Elijah. We're going to stay up on this mountain, and we're going to build us some educational facility, and we're going to build us a church, and we're going to organize some religion, and we're going to do all kinds of things. You see, that's what happened when man gets involved in the work of God. I told Pastor Day at lunch, and I'm going to say this publicly. The Lord told me the day of denominations are over. There's thousands of them since the Reformation. There was one church up to 1500. Martin Luther came and made, wanted to transform the church. They kicked him out. He started the Lutheran church. And from there, thousands upon thousands of, and the worst of the Baptists, I'm sorry if there are any Baptists in here, I don't know how many denominations those guys have, 30,000 Baptist churches, primitive Baptists, independent Baptists, Baptists, I don't know, I mean, there it is everywhere, you know. I went to a Baptist seminary, I know what I'm talking about. Forgive me for that, but that's where the Lord had me go. You see, back in the day, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, in Azusa Street in 1906, early 1900s in L.A., there was a great move of God. And it was heavily criticized by the church, by the way, and by the newspaper. I read original articles, newspaper, Los Angeles Times, talking about these weird people over there are shouting, singing all night long. Don't go down there. They're crazy. They're speaking in tongues. But that's where one of the greatest revivals that ever hit the planet came from, right there. These are actual facts. There was a man that went into the revival who had one leg. He had one leg and a stump on the other leg. And the preacher there in charge of revival, one-eyed black man, by the way, the preacher of this revival, I forget his name. Thank you. I was thinking of Parham, but that's the other guy. He told him, he says, well, take that stump off. And the guy says, why? He says, because God's about to grow you another leg. Hallelujah. What? God doesn't grow legs. That's not proper. You don't come to church and grow legs. Right there in front of everybody, his leg grew. Brand new leg. Because God can do anything. My God can do anything. He is the Lion from the tribe of Judah. And my God can do it. He can raise the dead. He can grow legs. He can give you a new eye. It doesn't matter. He's all the Lord of all creation. That's not too hard for the Lord. But you see what happens is, men got a hold of this revival late on. Eventually, the Assemblies of God comes out of it. Church of God comes out of it. I mean, 500 million people were touched worldwide by this move of God. And what man wants to do then is get the move of God and organize it. They want to control it. And then they want to build buildings like Peter. We're going to build shelters here. We're going to build organizations. We're going to administrate it. And we're going to put law in it. We're going to kill this thing. I know I'm a Assemblies of God minister. They don't like when I preach this way. I don't care anymore. Amen. Don't care. But the truth of the matter is, when man gets a hold of it, he wants to be in control of it, and that's when it dies. Peter turns to Jesus and said, we're going to build three shelters here. Here's another thing what's going on. There's several things, as you know, in the gospel, multiple layers. There's another thing going on. Peter wants to stay on the mountain. I want to stay on the mountain. Everybody wants to stay on the mountain, but you got to go back with the fire back into the valley and fight the fight, the spiritual warfare that God has ordained until God takes us home. There's a fight to be fought out there on Monday morning. Take the fire with you. Because after this episode, they go down into the fight. There's a demon-possessed man they can't handle, and Jesus gets upset. He says, oh, you little faith, and it's a big conflagration, and Jesus casts the demons out. And they say, well, Master, why couldn't we do it? He said, this one doesn't come out but before prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. You want a revival? Prayer and fasting. You want to do something before God? Prayer and fasting. If you want to do anything else, you organize it. It isn't going to mount a hill of beads. I don't want to be part. I'm getting too old now to be part of anything that man has put together. It says here in verse 33, in parentheses, it was added by the author of Luke himself, he did not know what he was talking about. But that's what we want to do. We want to camp on the mountain. And I really understand that. I don't really want to leave the mountain either. But there's a fight to be fought. and we are it. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. It always seems to be a cloud when the Lord is around you. The Bible says when he comes back in the second coming, he's coming on the clouds of glory. Hallelujah. And every eye will see, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The voice said, "This is my son." That's the Father talking. "Whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen, because they didn't know what to say. So the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met them. Now they're coming down from the mountain. You ever been there? You've been on top of the mountain today. You saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You've been, I'm going to come down here, because I got to preach freely here tonight. Here's what's going to happen tomorrow morning. I guarantee you, once you have, we're going to bring the Lion out again. We're going to pray one more time. But so Monday morning, when Monday morning rolls around, the first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to be attacked by the devil. Now, I don't want that to happen, but I know how the devil works. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. You come down off of this mountain Monday morning. The first thing is he's going to say, "Oh, that wasn't really that good. That wasn't that important. Now you get on with your business and forget all about what happened yesterday." Come on. Come on, somebody. Tell me if that's not true or not. Then you have your coffee, you wake up, you sober up a little bit and say, "Okay, what am I going to do?" Here's the thing you ought to do. Just stop right there and start praising, "Lord, I don't care how I feel today, Lord. I don't care what's happening today, Lord. I'm going to worship you, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to be used by the Holy Spirit to be led in God by the Holy Spirit in my life, and I'm going to encounter the first person. I'm going to talk about Jesus. The first person I see, I'm going to witness to Jesus Christ. I'm going to bring all these people." I like what Mario Barolo said to me. He said, he goes, "When I die," he said, "I'm going to be gumming the devil on my way up to heaven." Okay? The best thing you can do in the military, if when you're under attack, is go on the offensive. You see, we've been on the defensive too long. We've been hiding in our defensive positions too long, waiting for the enemy. Well, I said, let's go out and get the enemy, attack the enemy, and hit the enemy right between the eyes. We say, "Well, Colonel, you don't know. I've got bills to pay. I've got, you know, children to feed, and I understand all that." Your Heavenly Father knows that too. But here's how I want to live. I want to live transfigured. I want to live transformed by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12. I want to hear the Holy Spirit tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, and the next day. I want to say, "Lord, what is it you would have me to do today?" If you live that way, you will be victorious in Jesus Christ. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he's my only child." Now we're back in spiritual warfare. A spirit seizes him and suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him. It's destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it up, but they could not." You unbelieving and perverse generation. "How long am I going to stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." And even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him into the ground in convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. You know, there are demons in church. There are demons in church. In fact, if you're the enemy, where would you go to bring spiritual warfare? Right to the pastor, right to the pulpit, right into the deacons and the elders. In fact, the Bible doesn't say this. But I've heard this saying over and over, when the devil fell out of heaven, he fell right into the choir loft. I'll leave that one alone. This famous pastor was just talking recently. I heard him on video, and he was talking about, he had a person, a lady, that was head of his prayer team in his church, and she was ministering always in the name of Jesus. I don't know how she got the position, or the pastor had just got there, but she was ahead. Trust me, there is some spiritual warfare going on in churches, okay? And she was the head of the prayer team, and she was telling people, you know, they would say to the pastor, well, you know, Sister so-and-so, head of the prayer team, said we can live together without getting married because she said it in Jesus' name. And she kept hearing all this stuff in Jesus' name. He finally confronted her and said, what is this you're saying? She says, well, I hear from Jesus, and this is what Jesus is telling me. I prophesy over these people. And all of a sudden, he got this idea from the Holy Spirit. She says, let's pray right now. And he said, in the mighty name of Jesus, who are you? And boy, her face contorted. And she starts speaking another voice. She said, I am Jesus. He said, you may be Jesus, but you are not Jesus, the Lord, the King of Kings. You're a demon from the pit of hell, and I cast you out. And that lady convulsed on the floor and was delivered. Spiritual warfare takes place inside the church. Look at what's going on in these churches all around the country. God is separating his sheep from the goats. And some of them, you know, they say, I get in trouble here, but some of them say they're woke. They're not woke. They're of the devil. You're not, there's no such thing as wokeness. You're either of God or you're of the devil, and there's no in between. Come on, somebody. Someone accused me of not being very loving. Yeah, I was actually in a conference in California, and someone said, "Up, Colonel, you're not very loving. We're talking about getting battle ready, right?" Yes. I understand that. I said, "You know, when the drill sergeant gets a recruit, and he takes it easy on him, lets him lollygag, he doesn't train him very well. That's not very loving, because you're going to get that boy killed, and you're going to get yourself killed." I'm loving when I tell the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's love right there. That's love in action. What we learn, I wrote this note, what do we learn from the transfiguration? Number one, that God is over everything. And when he tells something in his Bible, you know, a lot of people say, well, that can't be true. You know, for a couple thousand years, preachers, I've actually read these sermons, preachers did not believe Israel would ever become a nation again. It was virtually impossible, they said, for Israel to become. Their Jews are scattered all over the world. There's no place for them. 6 million of them died in Nazi Germany, and there's no place for, there's no Israel. Well, there's a time called May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation in one day. Because God is God of truth. And when God says something, it's going to happen. I don't care how crazy it sounds, it's going to happen. But for thousands of years, these preachers would say, Israel did become a nation in one day, as the Bible said it would. You know, God allows us, let me get into the heart of this message now. How are we doing in time here? I get to look at time. That was the introduction. That was the introduction. Here's what the Holy Spirit has downloaded into me. I want to give to you is this. God gives us these kinds of times. Transfiguration, mountaintop experiences to prepare us for what is about to happen. God doesn't waste anything or any time, so just enjoy the presence of God. Now, God's presence is not going anywhere. Times are going to get real tough. Oh, you don't believe that? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay? Times are not been tough yet. They're going to get tough. Jesus said that the great tribulation, when it comes, that even the elect could not be able to stand unless, you know, God shortened the days. Now listen to this. See if this sounds like our society today in our culture. For men shall be lovers of themselves. Can someone say amen? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. That's all I hear from the White House is blasphemy against the covenants of God. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. Oh boy, I won't get into that right now. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh boy, let me stop right here. Woo, Lord, help me. Help me deliver my heart. I don't care how many Bible studies you go to. I'm going to say it again. I don't care how many. If that's not changing your life, it's a waste of time. If your life isn't changing, you could hear all kinds of Bible studies. There are a lot of pastors out there, a lot of churches going through all kinds of studying Bible, yet they're going to hell. If you hear the word of God and you don't apply it to your life, it's a waste of time. Jesus told the Pharisees this, one of my favorite scriptures in Gospel of John. He said, you search the scriptures thinking in them you find salvation. Well, salvation, my brothers, are in me, not in that. You're looking for traditions of men. I am the author of the word of God. I am the word of God. Oh, boy. Well, Pastor, I know you'll never have me back after saying that, but I love you anyway. Ever learning, you know people like this, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. There's a man, I'm going to name him. I don't even care anymore. He's in Atlanta, Georgia. He has a mega church. His dad was a mega church pastor too, who died recently. Do you know what I'm talking about? Andy Stanley. The man is a heretic from hell. I'm just telling you right now. And he's leading thousands astray. I don't care, Andy, if you're listening to this right now. I hope you repent and turn back to God, because you are not going to heaven. He says the Old Testament is useless. Well, according to God, it isn't. And he says that the only thing we can think about is resurrection. And he's had a big meeting in his church inviting the gay, lesbians, and reprobates into his church to speak their word of God. If you think I'm making this up, go look at it for yourself. We have to stand up to the war that is around us, and devil is using people like him to lead thousands astray. And he, at the last judgment, if he does not repent, he's going to stand before God and give an account to every one of those people he led into hell with himself. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now listen, persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, where what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live in godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. I'm going to stand here and tell you right now that the Church of Jesus Christ in America needs persecution. And I'll tell you why. We've had it easy for too long, and we're falling apart at the seams. I don't invite persecution. But the only thing I can pray now this is, Lord, bring judgment to the house of God because we are falling apart at the seams. I want to live in peace. I want to live in prosperity. I want to live a blessed life. But if that's what it's going to take, but I can see the handwriting on the wall. I can see things are coming on this world. We're coming to a third world war. I'm on TV all the time, Newsmax, all these others, and I'm telling them, what are they saying, Colonel? I see geopolitically that we are in the beginnings of a major global war. Russia is threatening nuclear war against us and against NATO. Middle East is exploding. China, right now, this last week, talking about Taiwan and the Philippines, wanted to take over. Global war. And remember when Nero, the fire in Nero, in fire in Rome, it burned? You know who Nero blamed for all of that? The Christians. We're going to be blamed for things that don't even seem incredible, just don't make sense, but that's what's going to happen in the future. We're going to be blamed. Right now, we're getting blamed because we're intolerant. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, well, you're not loving, Colonel, because you don't embrace the gay man. Look, I'm not going to embrace anything that God says is a sin. Whether it's gay, lesbian, homosexual, heterosexual, whatever it is, I'm not embracing it. I'm not embracing communism. I'm not embracing the way of life that is from the devil and from the pit of hell. I'm just not going to do it. And for that, they're going to persecute me and persecute you. Jesus said himself, and Paul said it, you live godly in Christ, they're going to persecute you. In the same way, at certain times, God may give certain members of the faithful special experiences of his grace that strengthen their faith, just like the Mount of Transfiguration. Embrace those times of great experiences. Get away, get alone with God. I'm telling you, we must prepare for what is about to happen on planet Earth. We need to welcome all these experiences. We need revival in the church. We need repentance of the church. We need power of God in the church like never before. We need the rivers of living water, the flow in the church. We need all these. It's sobering. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, when someone puts a gun to your head and say, are you going to follow the Antichrist or are you going to follow Christ? What is your answer going to be? You better think about it now. The time to think about it is not when you're in battle. The time to prepare is now before the battle begins. Because the earth is crying out. The earth is crying out. Remember when Abel killed Cain and Abel? And Jesus and the Lord said, your brother's blood is crying out from the ground. Well, I'm telling you right now, the ground of the earth is crying out from all the sins of mankind. And it's all going to heaven. And at one point, the Lord is going to descend and look down for himself, just like with Sodom and Gomorrah, came down and said, is it really happening the way I think it is? Of course, God already knows. He knows everything. But that's why I did a whole preaching session, a couple hours, a couple days worth of. That's why we had the eclipse. You remember the eclipse? A lot of people say, well, that's no big deal. I saw the eclipse. I was in Texas. I did a conference on the eclipse. The eclipse is a warning of judgment to America. I'm telling you right now. 40 days. Do you remember Jonah? He preached in Nineveh. Do you know why those people repented? It's not just because Jonah was preaching. Of course he is. But what made them? Do you know what happened the day Jonah started preaching? The great eclipse happened. And they looked at the sky and then they heard that. And the king said, we better get right with God. I'm telling you right now, America will better get right with God or America will be no more. And I fought for America for 32 years. I love America. I love the flag. I want great leadership. We need to turn things around. Is it too late? I don't know the answer. Everybody asks me, is it too late? I know one thing. It's never too late for God. Yeah. But I believe that our sins are piled high as heaven. God's going to do something about it. It's interesting. A few days after the eclipse, things already started happening with war in Israel. And I can go on and on. I don't want to frighten you any more than I am already. I can tell you the visions and dreams that people had. I talked to Pastor. He'll probably relate that to you in the future. But what I want to share with you tonight and what I leave you with is this. Get all prepared now. Don't wait another moment for something else to fall down. Now, I would say get prepared in every area of your life. Spiritually, this started happening. Of course, this church is great, and it just didn't start happening today. But this is the kinds of experiences we need to have all the time in our life. But I would also tell you to get prepared physically, mentally, emotionally. When we went to war, I'll leave you with this, and we're going to pray here in a moment. When we went to war, and the reason I wrote the first book, Military Guide to Armageddon, because I had saw soldiers go to war, and I went to war with them, and they were believers just like you. But they were not prepared for what they were about to see. Now, were they prepared with war machines? Yes. Were they great fighters? Were they physically prepared? Yes. But they weren't spiritually prepared to see. Because a lot of them said this. Well, colonel or chaplain, they said, chaplain, when we go to war, God's going to protect us, isn't he? And I would tell them this. I said, look, whether I live or die, it's up to the Lord. I said, I tell everybody, I tell you this. You are immortal until God takes you home. I had people shooting at me, things blowing up around me, but it could not kill me because it wasn't my time. And I would tell the soldiers, when it's your time, you will go home. Well, you know, a lot of soldiers died. A lot of soldiers were wounded, and they came back bitter against God. I knew chaplains that left the chaplain ministry because they didn't understand how a God of love could let them go through such a difficult time. But I'm here to tell you this. This is my mantra, and I want you to adopt it too. It's the Bible. It's what Job said. I will trust him even though he slay me. Because I don't understand the beginning from the end like God does. So when things happen, are they difficult? Yes. But we got to trust God now. Remember Joseph? God sent him to Egypt to prepare the land for the famine that was coming. God is sending people like me and your pastor and others to say, prepare for what is coming. Because it is coming. We've gotten a little taste of it with COVID. COVID was a Sunday school picnic compared to what is going to be happening in this world. Now you say, what about the rapture? Look, I don't control the events of time. I don't know when the rapture is. I do know one thing. People ask me all the time, well, Colonel, I don't have to worry about getting prepared because the rapture is going to happen. I said, what about the millions of Christians around the world that are suffering persecution right now? Are you better than they are? But here's the good news. I'm going to leave you with good news. And we are going to pray here in a moment. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back. We're going to pray, and this is what we're going to pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here for such a time as this. And God, thank you for preparing us now, for having the mercy to prepare us for the things that are about to face planet Earth. There's a guy named Richard Wurmbrand. I was telling Pastor about this earlier. He's read the book. If you ever read the book, Torture for Christ, it's funny because you guys know who Mondo is from the Jim Baker Show? I had a two-hour lunch with him the other day. And he said he's going to go to Europe on vacation. And I said, yeah, where are you going in Europe? Because I lived there for 5 years. He says, my son wants to visit Dachau. Do you know what Dachau is? Do you know Auschwitz? I said, now, that's not a vacation, Mondo, okay? I've been to Dachau. I've been to Flossenbürg. I've been to all these concentration camps. He says, yeah, but my son really wants to see it. I said, I think it's a good thing to see what mankind can do to mankind. But it's just not mankind. That's Satan. That's what demons do to mankind through the Nazis. And that's coming back again. If the church in Germany had not embraced Adolf Hitler, things would have come out a lot different. If the church in America would not embrace the left, would not embrace all the stuff that's going on in our society, if they would embrace what it actually says in the Word of God, this stuff would not be going on. But the church has lost its place here in America in the kingdom of God. It's lost its power. It's lost its authority. But you, my friends, have not lost. You are anointed of God. You can stand up for the kingdom of God. You can stand up on the anointing of God. You have been called to such a time as this to stand and take your stand among those around the world that are calling Jesus Christ the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give the Lord a hand. If you were not here this morning, anybody here, raise your hand if you weren't here this morning.